about going back to school. It's about moving forward. And we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Monday through Thursday nights, from 6 until 7, it's the Cam Jansen Show.
Vechnikov, who's our young rookie, third pick overall by Carolina, and he tries to go toe-to-toe with Alexander Ovechkin, and they cross-check each other, and Ovi's like, no, you're not cross-checking Daddy. And they went toe-to-toe, and he got buckled. But I called this the other day. Whenever it's that devastating, it turns against you, and the momentum is going to swing towards the Carolina Hurricanes. That's exactly what happened.
It's only here on 590 The Fan.
Rosalita's Cantina is St. Louis's go-to Tex-Mex all throughout the year, but on May 5th, it is St. Louis's go-to Cinco de Mayo party spot. This Cinco de Mayo, check out all that Rosalita's on Washington Avenue has to offer with live music all day featuring DJ Music, Mariachi, Mendez, STL, and Latin band Vladimir Ferreira. You can ride the mechanical bull, plus two balloon twisters and two face painters will be there. Tex-Mex, margaritas, and Cinco de Mayo done right, and it's all happening at Rosalita's on Washington Avenue.
Biggie's Restaurant and Bar has been a staple of the community for over 27 years. At Biggie's, they pride themselves on service and great food. They make all of their dressings, marinades, and pasta sauces in-house. Biggie's is famous for their garlic cheese bread, steak sandwich, and their homemade white French dressing. Come in every Tuesday and Thursday for barbecue pork steaks, and every Thursday and Sunday for Biggie's famous fried chicken. Located at 3332 Watson Road, check them out online at biggiesrestaurant.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter?
It's gonna be a good day today.
And that happy tune is your step.
I can feel it.
I can
life
feel it too.
Can be so sweet.
Feel it right now.
On sunny side.
I don't know why.
Street. I used to walk in the shade with those.
Just wait, things will change.
Of course they will.
I'm not afraid. This rover. Where you talking about?
All right. Whose idea was this? A lot of people don't know why you played that. Now, this is really weird because I got an email. I got an email, and I read it this morning. I guess it came in yesterday. Why don't you ever play China Grove when you mention FM DJs? I'm not kidding. So what prompted you to play that just now?
That little clip is dedicated to a listener in the 773 area code.
Nice.
Yeah. He sent me an email earlier.
That's the same guy. It's the same guy.
He asked me to play it today when somebody said FM DJ, but because I didn't know if we were going to be talking about him or not, I just figured I'd put it in the intro.
Well, this guy emails me and says, every time you mention FM DJs used to play China Grove. Let me explain to people why this irritates me so much. For 2 years of my radio career, I was displaced, and I was had a classic rock format, and they had such a limited playlist of songs, and the program director was just, I don't know, if you deviated at all, he threw a fit. And I must have heard China Grove like, it's like every 3 hours. It was unbelievable. And I just got so, and that, and Roxanne, you know, the Sting, the Police, the same songs over. And so when I got out of there, I just said, if I never hear China Grove again, that'll be fine with me. To this day, I can't stand the sound of it.
Would you like me to add that to the sound effects? And every time you say FM DJ, I'll play that? Or would you
know,
like me
I'm actually okay with that. No, I'm actually okay. Except that there'll be people who didn't hear this explanation, and then they won't know why you played China Girl. It won't make sense to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
That makes sense, but they'll just have to catch up. They'll just have to wonder.
Yeah, well, there are people that don't understand cheese and horses
cheese.
From. Yeah, thank you, Rad Boy. You're right. They'll just have to catch up. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. It's May Day, May 1st, 2019. No rain. Temperature is nice. There's a lot going on, as there is every day. But let's get started with this. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
I'd like to introduce a co-worker of mine for the last 30 years, at least.
Yeah. You said 35 yesterday.
Well, we don't know.
Did I, just said 30 years at least.
Yeah.
I just said that. 30 years at least. That could be 35 years. It could be 50. It could be 50 years. Dan, have we worked together for 50 years? I don't think so.
No. No.
Yeah, we had started as little children.
Yeah. When you say 35 one day and 30 the next day, I say brain tumor.
And you could be right. It would not surprise me if I have a brain tumor with some of the things going on in my head lately. But let me introduce to you everybody, longtime co-worker, almost Mary Kay sales rep, and that would have derailed his whole radio career, Dan Levi Strauss. It's all yours.
Yeah, thank you so much, Frank.
You are welcome.
So I was outside earlier today, and I was watching.
Smoking?
No. Well, I could have been. That's I could have been story, smoking, yeah. But... No, I'm not finished yet, Tim.
Sorry.
One of my neighbors was out, and she had a cat outside, and she's sitting there talking to the cat, and the cat's just, like, looking at her, but she's talking to the cat like she knows that the cat completely understands her. So I went inside and told Diesel about it, and we had a good laugh.
And you know, nobody knows what you're talking. Nobody knows that Diesel.
Well, Diesel's my dog. I went and talked to Diesel,
but you didn't
my dog.
Say that.
I should have said Diesel, my dog. I know.
See that, and because you didn't say that, the story fell flat.
Yeah, it did.
I repeat, that's a good story, Dan.
even now that we know Diesel is a dog, it's still not a good story. Wow, do you not have anything to contribute? Whew.
No. The other thing is, I was watching the Rachel Ray show. The other day, it popped on.
No boing?
Rachel Ray.
Oh, right.
I think she's cute. By the way, you're probably the only man in the entire listening area that watched Rachel Ray.
Well, it was on for about 10 minutes, and then I turned it off and went to a movie. but when Rachel Ray goes to the kitchen... And she starts doing this, and I noticed this in all food shows.
Isn't she always in a kitchen? Isn't that her whole show?
Well, no, this is her show. No, she sits at a table and interviews people. Then they go to the kitchen, and she does some sort of cooking thing. So, but I've noticed this with all cooking shows that have an audience. So Rachel Ray was sitting there, and she's standing there, and she's at the stove and everything, and she says, we're going to take the chicken out, and then we're going to go ahead and we're going to roll it in the batter.
Good for you.
Why does that get applause?
Because that's what they do. That's what they do. They do that. And then she says, after that, we put the chicken with the batter in the pan.
Oh, you mean they applaud for everything?
Oh, yeah. And then she goes, and what we're going to do is we're going to add some salt, we're going to add some pepper, and we're going to add some Parmesan Reggiano.
Oh, how sad. What a desperate audience for entertainment.
Hey, Brent, no, he's got a point, though.
But they
it
do.
Really is. She could say the dumbest stuff, like, and now we're going to add some milk.
First of all, why do you have a studio audience for a cooking show? Who'd want to sit in that audience?
I have no
idea. Think about it. I mean, really, think about that.
Don't they get fed?
I don't know.
I think they do.
I doubt it.
I think they do get fed.
Who cares? You can't see what's going on. You have to look at the monitor to see what's going on. That's not a studio audience type show. Not to me.
But her show.
Have anybody in the room here ever been to... like the taping of like a big deal TV show, like a sitcom or something?
No.
Mm-mm. Remember that show where Mel's Diner or whatever, where Alice was...
Oh, Flo?
No, Alice.
It was. Flo was in there, too.
Kiss my grits.
That's it. I went to see a taping of that show and one other. I can't remember the other one. I said this before. I can't believe I did this. My family and I actually went to the Rosie O'Donnell show.
That's right.
When the kids were little. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
When the kids were little.
Yeah. Here comes Rosie.
And I think it was that same trip that they were desperate for people to come into the taping of Mel's Diner. So we went to watch. It was kind of interesting. But a cooking show, I'd have turned those tickets down. I don't want to sit in that audience.
Well, Rachel Ray's show is more. It's more or less she brings out somebody as a guest, and then they sit there and they talk, and they sit at this
table.
They
go cook together.
And that, yeah, sometimes they go cook together, or that person will leave, and then she'll have, like, a chef or someone from the Food Network will come out and do something. Emerald used to do something on her show all the time, where he goes, bam!
That's
but
a good story.
Everybody claps every time you add something.
Well, so. but they're told to clap. For people who've never been to a TV show, there's a giant sign, lights up, says applause.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's a guy, like the cheerleader off to the side, doing this, yeah, prompting people to applaud. Oh, yeah, they tell you when they want you to applaud. And
the voice.
What's so phony about it?
We were
it's
watching
not voluntary applause.
Do you remember the old ones they used to have, though? Like Ricky Lake and what was that one? Jenna or something? Or Jenny?
Sally Jesse Raphael?
Yeah, the Sally Jesse Raphael. But then there was one, she was a blonde chick, and her show got taken off the air when she had these two people come on, and it was like, you know, confess your love for someone. And this one guy came on and confessed his love for another guy, but the guy was straight. So he ended up, like, after the show, he went to his house and shot him with a shotgun.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. I do remember that.
But I don't remember her name for the life of me.
Yeah, whose show was that?
It was Jenny or Jenna, or there was something with a Jenny, sure.
I remember the incident where that guy was so humiliated. Yeah, he committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it was Sally Jesse Raphael.
No, she was the older lady with the red hair, right? The
Jenny Jones show.
Jenny Jones.
Jenny Jones, you were right on it, Blimey.
Wow.
And Sally Jesse had like strawberry hair with big old red glasses, red frame glasses.
Didn't she do the show here?
Yeah, started in St. Louis. I never understood why she was successful. I didn't get it.
After that,
she was like a Phil Donahue wannabe. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. You have the floor.
See, I got to tease you to before you know which one I'm going to actually say a sentence and which one I'm going to say a consonant. It's like Jenny Jones' show, Frank, was sued successfully for $25 million.
Now, was it? It was the guy went to that guy's house and shot him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that man's family, the gay man's family, sued and successfully won a $25 million judgment.
And that was the end of her career, right there, wasn't it? Like there was no coming back from that.
I don't think she took herself off the air.
I don't think she quit.
But she didn't last much longer than that.
No.
For sure.
Man, they used to be like everybody had a talk show, and then they just kind of died out. Montel, he used to have one.
Oh, Montel had Sylvia Brown on all the time too.
Dan, will you cede your Burke segment to me for 1 minute?
Oh yeah,
cede the floor.
I'm finished. Finished with my Burke segment.
I was now Tim Woodburn. Go ahead.
This is still part of Dan's Burke segment though, Frank. Okay. I want to make sure you understand that. One day I faked being sick from school, and I had a little black and white TV in my bedroom, and the Sally Jesse Raphael show, which I never watched, came on the air.
Right.
No, I swear. I was in about eighth grade, living in South St. Louis County, and they had coming up next on the Sally Jesse Raphael show, women who marry their deceased husband's brothers.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, whatever. That's kind of weird. I look up, and then the show comes on, right? I look up, and the guest is my aunt.
Oh.
Who I had no idea. She just passed away last fall, right after my dad died. It was my dad's sister. My dad died, and his sister died on Christmas Eve Day, actually. And,
my condolences.
And my Aunt Pat. And I looked up, and I could not. And I had no idea that this was the case. And sure enough, she had married a man who died in a motorcycle accident, and 6 months later married his brother. And I found out about it.
Wow.
Because of the Sally Jesse Raphael show. And of course, my big fat mouth told no one.
Right. Well, I'm guessing you weren't real close to her, if that's how you had to hear about it.
We celebrated Christmases and stuff, but this was before my time. This was before I was born that she did this. And then by the time I was born and grew up and was cognizant of my surroundings, she was on a husband after this guy. She got married like 4 or 5 times. I mean, this was like number 3 out of a 5 spot.
Wow.
Isn't that something? Oh, I couldn't believe it. And Limey played Ride, but I'm telling you, I never, ever, ever watched that show. And the one day I call home, fake being sick to go to school, which that was a lie also, because I faked it a lot, actually. But, yeah, that's how I found out. And I couldn't, and I just, it was, what are the odds of that?
My fake.
And I'm going to mention the name of a TV show host.
Yep.
And this is one of the very first guys that I can think of who hosted a show where people got into it on the show. And the fisticuffs. I mean, Morton Downey Jr. Anybody remember this guy?
Yes.
What a loud mouth jerk this guy was. But you could not stop watching him. You had to watch it. And before him, there was a guy named Joe Pine. Now, I'm going to go way back now to when I was a kid. Joe Pine had a black and white TV, and he had a desk, and he would have guests. He had guests, but he was controversial, and he would stir it up. He had a wooden leg. And Joe Pine, to me, was the start of all of this out of control, yelling at each other. Then Morton Downey Jr. And Phil Donahue wasn't really the, I'm going to bring out your brother who's sleeping with your mother. Come on out here. And he didn't do that stuff, but Donahue sort of set the stage for Oprah and okay. Sally Jesse and all those people, because he would go out with the microphone in the audience. He was kind of the first to do that, where Morton Downey Jr. did it, but and he was like a nonstop chain smoker, that Morton Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Now, I will tell you, too, the guy that I missed a lot when he went off the air, and I really liked this guy, was Tom Snyder, the Tomorrow
Show. Yes.
I loved Tom Snyder. Yeah. And he's another guy who's constantly smoking.
Yes.
I mean, constantly smoking. And, I don't know. I guess he died fairly young. I don't know.
We used to watch him as kids. I'd watch him. Wasn't he on at like 10:30 or 11?
He was on like, after The Tonight Show. That's what it's called, Tomorrow Show. Came like midnight or something.
Yeah.
So you had to, be staying up pretty late to watch him. Dan, you closed out your segment. Anybody else for the Burke segment?
I have a quick one.
All right. Once again, part two, Tim Woodburn.
Thanks, Frank. The worst part of my day, every day,
is 3 to 6.
Close.
Open.
It's writing the weather that I read between 3 and 6.
Oh.
I am not a weatherman. I am not a meteorologist.
Sorry to interrupt, but somebody actually texted over a couple minutes ago, right after you did the weather. Tim's getting a little sassy about the weather, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't hear it. I paid
attention. It's because I said the National Weather Service is calling for thunderstorms throughout the day, the entire day tomorrow, and I said, they said the same thing yesterday about today. I threw in a little sarcastic.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? Nothing. I don't know how these meteorologists look their wives and children in their faces at night, knowing that they have just lied, likely, to their entire listening audience on a nightly basis. I write the weather based on information I obtain from the National Weather Service. And sometimes I'll scout out the local news stations, but for the most part, I get it from the National Weather Service. This is what their forecast. This is my forecast yesterday, Frank.
Okay.
A flash flood watch is in effect through Thursday morning. Multiple rounds of showers and severe thunderstorms throughout the day tomorrow expected to bring between 2 and 4 total inches of rainfall by Thursday morning. Uh-huh. It is sunny. There's barely a cloud in the sky.
The radar is absolutely clear.
It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. That's what they projected yesterday. Mm-hmm. Basically, start building Noah's Ark 2, and now today, sunny skies and nothing on the radar. How can they be that wrong? And I just feel like the biggest idiot, knowing that I've done that 3 times in a 3-hour span yesterday and today. And luckily, I'm just glad I don't do it for a living.
Nobody listening blames you. And they don't blame the meteorologists on TV. They know it all comes from the same place.
My point is, how do these guys must really get upset about it, though, because this is their life. They majored in
meteorology. I think they're more upset than the viewers or the listeners are. I think because they feel like it makes them look like idiots.
There was a meteorologist in Virginia when I was a hockey announcer, and he used to ask me to come on the air every once in a while because he loved hockey and he just wanted to do color commentary. So I'd let him come on, once or twice a year, and he would tell me afterward, he goes, "This is the most fun I have as a professional journalist all year long." I said, "Why is that?" And he said, "Because all people do is criticize me on a daily basis in multiple for every time my forecast is even a little bit wrong." It's like these guys never get a pat on the back, and all they get is shovels of dirt thrown on them when they're wrong. That's the life of a meteorologist.
And then when the TV meteorologists go out in public, a million years ago, when Jim Bolin was on Channel 4, he was a sports guy, and he did the weather. And he wasn't really a meteorologist. In the old days, you didn't have to be, you just did the weather. And by the way, who cares if somebody is a meteorologist? All you're doing is reading the National Weather Service forecast. And what's it gonna be tomorrow, tonight? Right. You don't need to be a meteorologist. So, I would, on the few occasions where he and I would go to lunch or go to dinner, it was almost laughable because people would see me, "Hey, Jim, what's the weather going to be tomorrow, buddy?" Brother. It's like going out with a sportscaster, Kilcoyne or Steve Savard or somewhere. If you're with them in public, every time you turn around, "Hey, about those Blues, what do you think's going to happen tonight, Steve?" Okay. I guess that would get old, I guess. But But yeah, I don't know when we decided we needed the person on TV to be chief. And chief meteorologist. You know, there's a meteorologist, a second stringer, and then there's the chief meteorologist. Quite frankly, when they used to have weather girls, and they were just called weather girls, mm-hmm. and then guys did, they were just the weatherman or the weather girl. There was no difference. It was the same information. So I guess they thought viewers would find it more credible. You know what it's like? It's like helicopter traffic. And let me tell you something, folks. I've been in the business a long time. I'm going to tell you, and this is the truth, because I've been in meetings. The whole helicopter traffic thing is a joke, because long, long ago, the old people station was the only station that had Officer Don Miller in the air. He wasn't even a pilot. He had a pilot flying him around. And the perception was that because that station had a helicopter in the air, they could give more accurate traffic. No, they can't. All they can do is go over one little area and look down and go, oh, looks like there's a fender bender down there. But you can't see beyond, you know, 3 or 4 miles in a helicopter. It doesn't make it more accurate at all. Accurate traffic comes from spotters, people reporting all over the place on the ground. That's much more accurate. Boy, but forever and ever, everybody thought, oh, man, if we had a traffic copter, our ratings would go up.
Did you ever work for a station where they superimposed helicopter sounds behind the traffic reporter?
Well, somebody got in big trouble for that. At Y98, the late Alan Barklage, the station, when he was on the ground, because what will happen is, like, early in the first report, and Dan knows this, and Tim, you do too, the first report might come from the desk on the ground before they go up in the air. But they wanted it to sound like they were in the air, mm-hmm. at 5:30 in the morning, so that... Yes, and they got fined and busted for playing a sound effect of the helicopter rotor blades when he's on the ground. Yeah, it has happened.
The worst.
And they stopped it then.
The worst traffic report I've ever had to give, and I had to do it for 6 months until I finally talked the manager out of it. But I used to work at a radio station down in St. Robert, Missouri, where
you were a traffic reporter.
No. I was an on-air personality then. I had an 80s.
Hold on here. Yeah. We never knew about it. When was this?
This was from 2010 to 2013.
That's a significant amount of time.
Yeah.
What station were you on?
It was called 98.9 The Fort. We were right outside Fort Leonard Wood.
And what was the format?
Pretty much anything, really. We had an interesting manager that just liked to play all kinds of music. So as long as it wasn't rap or country, we were okay.
And you had your own show.
Yeah, I had my own show from, I did the morning show for a while.
This.
Well, you know, I don't like to brag.
But morning show. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. The morning slot is the most coveted slot. You don't get the morning show mm-hmm. unless you're kind of, at least in those days, top of the heap in terms of the talent at the station.
Yeah.
So for them to put you on in the morning, and this was where? St. Robert?
Yeah, this was St. Robert, Missouri. We covered
where
St.
The heck
Robert.
Is that?
That is way down 44. If you go 44 west about 100 miles, like, it's about 20, 30 miles past Rolla, Missouri.
Now, did you use your real name, Trevor Phillips?
Yeah, I was called Trev the Brit.
Trev the Brit.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the frequency?
98.9 The Fort.
Trev the Brit on 98. I can hear it now.
Yeah.
98.9 The Fart.
Now, what happened that ended? Did they fire you?
No. My fiance at the time, we wanted to move back home, so we just moved back to St. Louis, and then she got a job on country radio and all that, which was pretty good. But the original thing at the time, like, we had a salesperson sell a traffic report, which we did every day. And it was pointless because for Highway 44, unless there's a bad accident, you never get traffic in there.
Yeah. So, especially down that far. It's
exactly.
Not congested.
And then the other one, I think the road into the Fort Leonard Wood, like in through the main gate, was Veterans Memorial or something like that. Veterans Memorial Drive. So every single day, my traffic report would be like, you get this beep, beep, and then, all right, let's have a look at your traffic brought to you by the Phelps County Regional Medical Center. And then we go, okay, everything seems to be clear out there. We got no problems on 44 or on Memorial Drive. You have a safe day out there. And I had to do that three times a show
Even when there was no traffic.
Even when there was no traffic.
Because consultants say people want traffic reports. And I tell you, people want the weather.
But it was out there.
It was also sponsored, though.
Oh, yeah, it was sponsored. They did our traffic, our weather, and our news. And, I mean, I get it because, you know, you got to pay bills. But every single time, and I think it took 5.5 months before she actually paid attention. And then on the 6th month, she was like, all right, we're done because the contract was up. But every single one was just like, all right, we got no traffic out there, so just enjoy your day, drive safe. The only thing
here's the deal with radio. If they have a sponsor, they'll do traffic, even if all you're saying is traffic's moving along nicely. Brought to you by Anderson Plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right, for all your plumbing needs. Again, traffic moving along fine.
That reminds me of the story on Steve Stenger yesterday when the Post-Dispatch was talking about his letters, I guess, or his notes that he had made or recommendations that he was making to the council before he eventually resigned. And they talked about how he never showed up at the meetings and everything. And previous county executives would have like this, you know, big, you know, examination or this big, you know, response to what was talked about at the last meeting. And Stenger would turn in a one-page response for the meeting that would just say two words, nothing further.
Well,
and you could have had a traffic that said, hey, and here's your traffic. Nothing further.
No traffic. Now, here's a little tidbit for people who haven't been in radio, and everybody will remember this. I mean, if you're at least 40 years old, you'll remember that you used to hear it all the time, but you don't hear it ever now. And it's this. The time. If you worked at a radio station, you were told, I'm not kidding, you were told over and over, you forgot to give the time. You have to give the time. And if you listened to radio from the 60s, the 70s, even in the 80s, 25 minutes before the hour, my name is, and then 5 minutes later, 20 minutes before the hour, or if it's 3:37, it's 4:02, always give the time. And now they never do it. And why? Everybody knows the time. It's on your phone. It's on your dashboard on your car. You might have a watch. We know the time. And I kind of feel that way about the weather. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you want to know what the weather's going to be. And then later today, what's it going to be tomorrow? And most people have a pretty good idea already what it's going to be.
And the thing about the morning guys, especially on AM radio, when I first got an AM radio in the late 90s, the morning guy, it was a guy named Jack Patty on the station I was on, and he was far and away the highest compensated talent on the show. And he would do his show from 6 until 9. That was the morning drive, right? We had traffic and weather on the 10s. We had sports at the 25 yes. and 50. We had, you know, the top of the hour national news, bottom of the hour this, you know, all the live reads that he had sold, plus the commercial inventory. We actually recorded his 3-hour show one day as a joke, because I was on the afternoon show with a guy like I am on this show, and we actually recorded it, and we actually counted how many non-sponsored words he spoke in 3 hours, where it wasn't, you know, a lead into traffic, Brooks, a lead into weather.
Where
he actually had to provide some type of personality or content to the show. And one day, because we always sold out right before Christmas, you know, that was when the station was jam-packed with spots. One day, on the week before Christmas, we counted in a 3-hour span that he spoke less than 80 words of actual content.
Right. Well, there's a guy in St. Louis, and he's still on the air, and he told me one time, because he was envious that we get to just sit and talk like this, and his station played music. His in an hour, the entire amount of time he was allowed to actually talk was 6 minutes total.
Wow.
For the whole hour. 6 minutes. And a lot of that was what they call liner cards. Don't forget to register for our big contest coming up. You can go this weekend to Joe Schmuckmeyer Roofing Company, and we'll see you out there. We'll be broadcasting live. That might have been part of his 6 minutes. So you have almost no time to just stop down and talk or take calls or whatever. The other good, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Secrets of the Radio Business, and I think you'll find it interesting. The other one I always liked was it'd be a music station. And they take requests. So let's say Becky calls and says, I'd like to hear Elton John.
China Grove?
Elton John, Crocodile Rock. And what would happen is the DJ would take the call while another song is playing, and he'd record it. So he'd record her.
Yeah, can you play Crocodile Rock, Elton John? I really like to hear it. We're dedicated to my voice.
We'll sure do that, Cindy. Thanks for calling WKRB. And so when the song would run out, he'd say, let's go to the phones. Now, this is already recorded. He'd say, we have Cindy on the line. Hey, Cindy, what's going on?
Hi, Danny. I just wonder if you could play Crocodile.
And before she even says Crocodile Rock, the song starts playing.
Yeah.
Now, people used to go, well, how in the world could they have that song? In fact, they started it before she... Well, they do it because the phone call is recorded. But the stupid FM DJs, in an effort to sound really tight and on top of it, would hit it before she even said it. Now, it'd be fine if she said, yeah, can you play Elton John, Crocodile Rock? Yeah, sure can, Cindy. Got it right here. Boom, and there it is. Okay, that would sound, whoo, that's impressive. But they went too far, and it actually sounded ridiculous. The other thing about radio in the what Tim said about morning people. Let me tell you something, folks. For as long as I've been in the radio business, a long time, 35 years, it's always been the case that the morning DJ, the morning personality, was the star of the station. They made more money, and they usually were pretty arrogant. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like they thought their, you know what, didn't stink, and they were so far above all the other people on the air there because they were the morning DJ. And I've never really understood that. I moved from morning to afternoon by choice. I asked to be moved. Nobody does that. Because if you get mornings, man, you hang on to it for as long as you can, because that's most people's goal, is to get the morning gig. I got sick and tired of getting up at 4:30. I got up at 4:30 for 15 years. And then here's the other thing I realized, and I'm right about this. This slot right here is a much better place to be for advertisers. Now, they charge more for the morning. And we've got a great morning show here. Those guys do a great job. But if you're an advertiser, where'd you rather be? You'd rather be on in the morning when, if I tell you about a restaurant at 7 o'clock, it's not open, you can't go there, and you're on the way to work, and you got all day at work to forget about what I said. But if you're on the way home and you hear about a hardware store or a restaurant, car dealer, Johnny Londo, you could call your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever and go, hey, let's go look at the car tonight. It's on your mind, and you're not going to have to go somewhere where you'll forget about it for 8 hours. I think it's a better place to be. And so that's what I chose to do a long, long time ago. And I think I was right, and I'm glad I did it. And I don't miss and never did miss. I used to work with a guy who'd done mornings forever, and when I first started working on that show just as an assistant, and I'd come in and go, man, this is getting up and forth. He goes, oh, you'll get used to it. Well, I never got used to it. Never. And after 15 years, the first day that I didn't have to get up, I slept like a baby till like 10 o'clock. I never got used to that.
The only good thing about working that early in the morning is there is never any traffic. Like, you
that's
never
true.
Get stuck anywhere.
The only
you
thing.
Get to work.
That's true.
Like,
that is the only
split
thing.
Split second.
So, yeah. Frank, try it. I'll be the DJ. This is like a classic rock FM DJ that doesn't really get it, and you request the Elton John song. I'll just go, Hi, welcome to 590.
Hi, Dan.
Yeah.
No, that's perfect. Yeah, I was wondering, can you guys play Crocodile Rock by Elton John?
Oh, you bet. We'll get it right on for you.
No, that's exactly what it sounded like. And then the listener's thinking, well, that guy's psychic. No, he's not. The phone call is recorded. It's recorded. Now, the other thing that they'll do is they'll stack the phones with friends. They'll have their buddies or somebody call. Yeah, and that happens all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And say something about, hey, I really love the show. Because they're thinking their boss will hear, well, the listeners really like this guy.
Hey, man, I listen to a lot of radio. You guys are the greatest.
Well, okay, sometimes that's staged. And somebody put somebody up to that. I believe this was, Dan, is it, are you, no, this is Tim's part
yeah, this
of the Berkshire.
Yeah,
was there
Tim,
anything
yeah.
else, Tim?
No, that's it.
All right, Limey, anything?
Nope, I don't have anything.
Okay, let's close it. Burke segment is official. Okay, now, let's talk for a second about the fact that we're already being exposed to what, for the next year and a half, is going to be nothing but politics. They're campaigning already. I mean, Joe Biden is out campaigning. And here's the thing I don't get. They've already brought up Biden's son, Hunter Biden. Okay. You know anything about Hunter Biden?
Is he the one lost that passed
the one that
away?
Died?
No, Bo Biden died.
Oh, okay. Bo died.
His other son is Hunter Biden, and I think Hunter is his
the fisherman.
He's the younger son. Okay.
Okay.
So Bo dies sadly, and Hunter hooks up with his brother's wife.
And now
they've split. Now the truth is, that's not incest. It's not. I mean, you know, she's single and a widow, but it to a lot of people, it's weird. And here's the other thing. This Hunter Biden, in 2013, he was selected as what they call a direct commission officer in the U.S. Naval Reserve. It's a program that lets civilians who have no prior service get limited duty with a commission after they attend, not duty, duty, after they attend a 2-week class that covers military, etiquette, history, whatever, drill and ceremony, in lieu of going to basic training or boot camp. In the Navy, they call it boot camp. So because Hunter Biden was past the cutoff age for the program, he needed a waiver. So he gets a waiver, but then he gets a second waiver that he had to have because of some past drug-related incident. Then 1 month after he gets commissioned, Hunter Biden tests positive for cocaine and was dishonorably discharged from the Navy in February of 2014. Now, I'm watching different news coverage, and there are people who are already throwing this out there. Well, we don't want this guy for president. Look at his son. Folks, parents cannot always control what their kids do, especially when they're grown. And it doesn't necessarily, I'm not campaigning for Joe Biden, but I don't like it when somebody starts to paint a particular person a certain way because of something that maybe their kid did or their parent did.
Or their brother.
This is how dirty politics is.
Look at the Clinton, Bill Clinton with Roger, but Bill did his own thing.
Well, but somehow Roger, they thought by exposing Roger that it would tarnish Bill's. I mean, it didn't.
And then
it didn't.
Then Jimmy Carter had
Billy
right?
Carter, yeah. and they caught Billy Carter urinating out in public in an airport. Yeah. So, well, that's not Jimmy. That's Billy. And I don't get this whole Hunter Biden thing. I don't know how in any way. Look, if you don't want Joe Biden to be president, you don't want him to be president because of what he's done or not done as Joe Biden. What your kids do when they're grown. You know, the kid that just shot up the synagogue and killed that woman and put those people in the hospital, did you see the statement from his dad?
Mm-mm.
Maybe it was both of his parents, essentially said, what a despicable, horrible thing our son has done. We are so sorry. Essentially just washing their hands of him. They're not responsible for what he did. You can't hate the parents. But when a person kills people, it's not uncommon for the world to turn on that person's parents.
Oh, absolutely. I remember
the wife or whatever.
Do you remember when there was that school shooting up in Connecticut? I think it was in 2014, 2015, and all those young children died, sadly.
Yeah.
I remember reading, because Fox 2 or somebody would comment, post the news story, and then all the comments below, people were saying, oh, we should go and shoot his mom. She should be arrested and thrown in jail. Like, obviously, they didn't even read the story because the dude killed his own mother as well. She was working at the school. And my instant thought is just like, why are you attacking his parents?
But they're going after Joe Biden. It's the same thing because of the history of this Hunter. And, look, I have three kids, and so far so good. I'm proud of them. But if one of my kids became deranged and did something, it would make me sick. But I would hope the whole world wouldn't go, that Frank opinion. Well, you know what his kid did. They tear me apart.
They turn on you so quickly. I think
people
your fans
love
would be loyal,
people love to tear other people up. They do. It's just human nature, unfortunately. They love to see somebody go down. And they'll turn on you on a dime. And look, I'm not endorsing or promoting or supporting Biden or anybody else on the radio, but I just, we have to, the other thing we have to stop doing.
But this is, real quick though, Frank, this guy, Bo Biden, you know, married this gal and had two kids, and then he died. He died tragically when he was 46 years old. I mean, this guy was a former attorney general of Delaware. I mean,
like brain cancer or something? A brain tumor?
It was something that. Yeah, yeah, no, it was something like that.
Okay, so his brother has a wife and has three kids. They get divorced. Bo Biden dies. Now, their kids, who are all cousins, all of a sudden now their dad is dating their mom? You know, that
their aunt?
You got to admit that's a little odd. I mean, especially when there's children involved.
I think it's a little callous, honestly. Like, respect the memory of your brother and kind of stay away.
I mean, it's like all the women in the world, you got to have her.
Right.
I mean, if it was my family, I know what we'd be saying behind their backs.
Yeah.
No. It's like second to only the incest or so. There are a lot of people that go, come on, man.
I know.
I mean, your brother's wife, are you kidding? And then they start to speculate, well, I wonder if they were together before, you know, he died. Who cares? Who cares? It has nothing to do with Joe Biden, by the way. You know, I think somebody, our head of research, I have to look this up, but I think Biden's first wife and a daughter were killed in an automobile accident. I think Biden's lost two kids. I think a daughter and a wife in a car wreck. And here's the other thing. I know it's going to come up, and I know that Biden's going to get choked up, and people go, oh, he's playing the dead kid card. Well, if he is, shame on him, because again, in the same way that you shouldn't not consider somebody for an office because their kid did something, you know, bad, I don't think you should give them any extra points because they happen to lose a family member. That doesn't make them either any better.
Right.
Sort of like John McCain wouldn't have been a good candidate, you know, for office just because he got captured. Okay. He needs all the qualifications you need to do it. That alone is not going to do it. It's interesting to me. I don't know. This whole thing about
what?
Politics.
He was in an accident with his wife and three children, and his wife and the one-year-old daughter died, and then the two boys survived, and then one of those boys is the one we just talked about who died.
Yeah, so he's lost two kids. He's lost a
and
daughter
a
and a son and a wife.
Wow.
Yeah, that's horrible. That's horrible. But, and I'm sorry, but I don't factor any of that in if I'm going to decide whether or not this guy should be president. I factor in how old he is, and I'll tell you something else. I don't know who he's going to announce as his running mate, but that's going to be real important because he's going to be old. And if he croaks, that person is our president. So that's going to be important.
The one thing that
did we close the Burke segment?
Yeah, we closed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
What I hate about this political mudslinging now is whenever you see commercials or anything, very rarely, like I can't remember the last politician that made a commercial and said, hey, this is what I'm planning on doing. From now on, in the past couple of years, all it's been is, this is what my opponent does. My opponent's an a-hole. This is what he does.
And you'll never stop it. You'll never put an end to that. No, I hate it. No, I hate it too. There ought to be a law. Honest to goodness, a campaign law. You cannot trash the, talk about yourself and
right?
Let him talk about himself or herself. Don't spend all the campaign going, well, look what this guy did, look what else they did or she did and they did, and then nothing about you. Yeah, I hate it, but that's where we are. And it's not going to change. You know why? Because it works. It works.
Yeah.
If you trash somebody enough, the perception is, whoo, I don't want that person in office. That's a bad person. Now, how much time do I have for another?
We have a call if you want to take it.
Yeah, I would love to do that. Let me change screens. You don't have to tell me the name. It should up Simon, like Simon says. Simon, welcome to 590 The Fan. Yes. What's going on?
Oh, how you doing? AM and PM.
Thank you.
I have a suggestion for your show.
Okay, did it go off the air?
Yeah, probably.
That was good. No, I think Limey should read the news, and I think Tim should work the board, the song board. I think you got those two backwards, because Limey is actually the featured person on your show. because he has a distinct accent. People like to hear him talk. And Tim Woodburn, your voice doesn't carry over the air very well, and you mumble. You talk way too fast, and you mumble.
Hmm. Well, that's an interesting observation. And for what it's worth, Simon, I get lots of emails, and I read them every day. And I get a lot of feedback, and people tell me, and they don't hesitate to tell me what they like and they don't like. And I've never had one email from anybody saying that they don't like Tim's voice or that he mumbles.
They say that about John Hadley.
Yeah, now, Hadley's a different story. Yeah. Everybody agrees.
There was only one person who complained to the captain on the Titanic that he was going too fast, that he would hit an iceberg. So it only takes really one person to complain to get things done.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, I'm not a guy who twitches gears over one complaint, like the Yankees did because of one complaint over Kate Smith. But if I would get, if I got a dozen people, let's say, and they all said the same thing, Tim Woodburn, I don't like his voice, it doesn't get, then I'd have to maybe consider what do we do about that.
I have one more thing about Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Dan, it's always. Wow. And then when he thinks of something really cool, he says, whoa. And then when he can't think of that, he says, oh my goodness. I mean, Dan, don't even talk if you're going to sound that stupid.
Wow.
Simon, hold on.
Wow.
Simon.
There you go. Wow.
Simon, it sounds to me.
Wow.
Like,
thank you. There Simon.
Hang on. It sounds to me, Simon, like there's a lot about this show you don't like.
No, that's two of the best. Those are the two things I can think of. Dan, you are an idiot. Dan is an idiot. Wow. Whoa.
This is Sebastian and Brian and
it's the same.
Now you're Simon today.
It's the same.
You know
Simon,
what?
Let's just wrap this up.
I'm glad that you called because the start of May is Mental Health Month. I am so glad that you called, Simon.
I'm glad you called too, Simon.
Thank you for being the poster child.
All right. Wow. Thank you, Simon.
And, oh boy.
Thanks for calling, Simon. Okay, Simon's gone.
Can't believe he's trying to mumble. No.
You're right. He's the same guy. He uses different names. He uses a bunch of different names. And I find him pathetic but entertaining. That's the only way I know how to put it. All right. Let me do a little business here. And next hour, Dr. Doug Pernikoff. We were with another couple, well, actually two other couples the other night. We had a sort of an obligatory dinner. You know how somebody has taken you to dinner and you go, oh my goodness, we've never taken them as we get them to dinner. So we had these two other couples and one of the other couples is trying to tell the third couple about what I do and about the show. And he said, well, what kind of talk show is it? And I said, well, it's not politics, it's not sports, it's kind of like what anybody wants to talk about. But every day for 1 hour, we target like Monday, we have a tech guy, and I said Tuesday we have a movie, a guy, TV, and then Wednesday we have a vet. And the other person who knows the show said to the third couple, he goes, oh my goodness, this vet is the greatest. He's so knowledgeable about pets, and if you love, and he goes on and on about Dr. Doug. So that guy, Dr. Doug, will be with us right after the news next hour. If you have a pet and you have a question, he really is the real deal, and he loves animals, so he'll be here to help you. Window World is hosting a trivia night in 2 weeks from Saturday. I can't believe it. It's closing in, folks, and maybe later in the show I'm going to beg again. I would just like to get, if I could get $2,000 more, we have a considerable, I haven't totaled it up yet, but it's like $12,000-$14,000. I'd like to get just two more. I call it greedy, call it whatever. All of it goes to St. Jude Children's Hospital. And then add to that the fact that the Window World puts out the best-selling replacement window in the country. There must be a reason for that. In fact, there are several reasons. You do not become number one in a relatively short time, few years, unless you're doing a lot of things right. You don't. It just can't happen. But it has happened for them. And there are a lot of good reasons why they're number one. And if you are right now ready to replace windows, or know you will be in the near future or the distant future, please start the ball rolling by letting the folks at Window World come out, give you an estimate. I can't imagine you'll make any other choice. Window World. You can find out more at windowworldst.louis.com. And it is 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is TJ Moe. You're listening to 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 5-9ofthefan.com St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. Senate Democrats are highly skeptical of testimony given by Attorney General Bill Barr at a Judiciary Committee hearing today, and some are calling for Barr's resignation. Hawaii's Mazie Hirono did it during the hearing, and California's Kamala Harris did it afterwards, noting that Barr made a decision on obstruction of justice in the Mueller report, but didn't review the evidence.
No prosecutor worth her salt would make a decision about whether the President of the United States was involved in an obstruction of justice without reviewing the evidence.
Democrats have accused Barr of misrepresenting key